Good morning, everybody. It is just after 6 o'clock on the last day of January. Whew. Yes, and people want to know, hey, because January the 426th is, it's not fucking joking. All right, so with me, as always on a Friday morning, we have Simpua and we have Ben.
Good morning.
Yes, and we even have the producers. Look how wide awake they are. Hello, James.
Hi. Hello. I knew you guys lived together. I knew it.
Flex, where are you? In the background there. There he is. All right, so Flex is there. He's actually a real person. Making sure about that. All right, so we're doing a different kind of a show today, and we want you to be a big part of it, and you're going to be able to join in the comments section. We're going to do a little piece of the show just now where we let you ask us questions and you can get immediate feedback. That's anything you want to direct at me, at Ben, at Sim, or at one of the producers. Totally up to you. So lots of cool and interesting stuff happening. And you might notice from the title of this thing that we're going to be talking about cyber farting. This is according to James anyway, about a Ozempic butt, which I notice is still spelt wrong. And then audience feedback. So we'll get to all of that just now. Very, very good. Slippery pickle already hot off the press this morning. Turns out Ozempic causes osteoporosis. So I guess it doesn't just make you lose weight, just big bones. Well, you know, unfortunately, this is the stuff that you discover. Like for those people who decided to get like every COVID shot and every booster, and they realized along the way, oh, hang on, these things don't prevent transmission and they don't prevent infection. And I've just taken like a whole bunch of drugs that I don't know the side effects of. Great move, guys. The reason I bring this up is because yesterday was Bobby Kennedy, his confirmation hearings. And this is amazing to me because this guy, he's like a through and through Democrat, right? I mean, you've seen him, Simpiwe, you've seen him, Ben. This guy's like, he's a Dem. Like the people on the Democratic side of the aisle should love this guy. But my God, did he have a rough time from all these. And it's all the Democrat women. They are just a furious bunch of harpies. I just want you to see this picture quickly, and you'll get an idea of what I'm talking about here. Just have a look at, like, imagine being faced by these women here. Look at this. Look at those women. There's Hillary. She wasn't there, though. And the other five are all, like, Democrat women. There's Jill Biden as well. She wasn't in the hearing, but that the last two at the bottom there are actually pictures of these two. And it was like, really, you want people to think of you as being like that naggy, naggy, irritating wife? Because that's what those people look like, right?
Yeah, Gareth, that just looks like marriage. There are so many guys in their 50s going, jeepers, that's just Thursday for me.
They look so mad.
And they are. I mean, even Chief Senator Elizabeth Warren. I say Chief because she obviously is also American Indian. Pocahontas is what they call her. Look at her. Okay, like there may be a little bit of AI and CGI going on there.
But quickie as well, you know.
She crazy. She crazy. Oh, sure. Man. Anyway, this guy, I think he's going to get confirmed. And I think so will Tulsi Gabbard, who's probably, these are the most controversial picks of all. And there's a guy called Kash Patel, who's going to be running like the agencies, the FBI and CIA. I'm not sure which one, but he's going to be in there somewhere. So it's very exciting.
Sorry, Gareth, this sounds like mob talk. What do you mean he's going to get confirmed?
Oh, okay, so what happens is, thanks for asking.
You always forget this. So a few of us know as the level of American politics that you do.
Well, I'm glad you asked, Ben, and I have a prepared answer. So, I mean,
nice. Nice.
So since you asked, all right. The first of all, what happens, Ben, is that when a president decides to appoint his cabinet, unlike here in South Africa, we don't really have any say in the cabinet. That's why, for example, Angie Motshekga is our Minister of Defense, you might notice. And We had a bunch of soldiers killed the other day, and she flew in to this place in the Congo where our troops were stationed. And I'm sure she was really, really helpful and useful. You know, Angie Mocheha, she of the 30% pass mark, right?
Mm-hmm. Doing a great job.
Mm. So in this country, what happens is Cyril, or whoever the president is, they just choose one of their friends, one of their comrades, and they just move them in. And we don't have any say at all. In America, they kind of don't have a say either, but the Senate gets to confirm a presidential appointment. So, for example, Donald Trump's just become president. He was voted in. He was inaugurated on January the 20th. And now he gets to, he already told us who he's going to pick back when he was elected, right? So this is kind of unprecedented, the speed at which he's moved. And then they have to sit through a session where they get those Democrat women hectoring them, like you said, his marriage. It's really just a chance for the Senate to quiz people, to make sure that they're not complete lunatics, to make sure that they don't, you know, behave like psychopaths, that they're not gangsters. I mean, in our country, if we had to do any of that, we don't have a Senate. We have a National Council of Provinces, which includes traditional leaders, and each of the provinces has a number of seats. But I don't know if they'd even know how to ask the right question.
So basically, it's basically like the Zondo Commission, but it actually goes somewhere.
Yeah, well, it should. And to be fair, you know, Bernie Sanders gets to ask Bobby Kennedy about pharmaceutical drugs and whether or not he's against vaccines, and those are all very pertinent questions. But it actually becomes like nothing particularly good, even in those U.S. confirmation hearings, because all that happens is the Democrats shit all over Donald Trump's appointments, and they have to defend themselves. Sometimes they're very good at doing that, like Pete Hegseth, who's the guys who they brought into the Department of Defense. He did a pretty good job. I mean, I don't know how any of our ministers would get anything right in a hearing like that, even if they were asked questions by very low IQ people. Poor old Angie, she is head of defense, Angie Mocheha. But I just want you to see something quickly while we're talking about this, and before we move on from this situation. I want you to see a video that was posted by Power FM on... Mm. Did you see this the other day? They showed us how big our cabinet is. Now, I had no idea. This is almost like it's about a 50-second clip. I want you to look at the size of the room. Don't worry about like the ministers smiling and saying hello or anything. Just look at the number of people who have to be in the room. These are ministers and deputy ministers. And in some cases, they're also like directors general and secretaries. But look at the size of the cabinet, all right? We have probably the biggest cabinet of any country in the world. And yet we have about 2% of everything that works. All right, so just take a look. And then I'd love to hear Simpiwe Ben and your comments.
Here are the people we were talking about. They are here.
Machia Nyoma.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Afternoon. Afternoon.
Afternoon.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Someone up.
Yeah. Did you see how many people that was?
It's just packed to the brim.
Three levels. Mm-hmm. They should tear it, because what are the people in the back see? They see nothing.
Yeah, it's almost like when we went to Stutbull, James. I mean, Ben, there are that many people in the places that there were at Stutbull. It's ridiculous.
Fuck, that is.
And all those people have to have a say in whatever.
Yeah, I mean, that's so apparent. I don't know how many times our cabinet meet. Apparently, Trump meets with his cabinet every week. I think Cyril has met with our cabinet twice. Since Yeah, since the elections here, twice. I could be wrong. I'm willing to be corrected, but that's what I've heard. So now you know why we get nothing done, because they're all sitting there. You imagine how much tea they order, how many sugars they have in their tea, how many biscuits they want. I mean, those people are really there for the free meal.
But they all look so happy here, cheap as they ever looked after. That every single one of those people, they were
John
happy.
John Skinner with his bowl of pork crackling.
The buffet there must be so nervous. Come like 11 o'clock, it starts to like shake a little. Because come lunch, that thing is getting pounded.
But can you also imagine how long the requests are? Because they'll ask you like allergies, what would you prefer, not prefer? I'm sure there's bacon, eggs, top tier stuff.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's just terrifying. So anyway, that's our cabinet. And I none of those people inspire me particularly. And I'm saying that across the board as someone who was pleased with the results of our election last year, because it showed that we're moving into a phase where we no longer a one-party state. And everybody has to say, you saw Gayton and you saw John Steenhuisen and you saw Siviwe Gwarube, who's with the DA, but she's in education. And, then you see the ANC ministers there, Aaron Motsoaledi, and, you saw the deputy president, Paul Mashatile, and Cyril's like, ha, 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 here are these guys. Like, he's always laughing at stuff that's not funny. Anyway.
He doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah. And we actually lost people. Like, we lost South African soldiers. Now, when you say South African soldiers, and this is a big story too at the moment, we mean that we've lost people like fellow South Africans who we've sent to some place. I'm not sure why they're there. They say it's a peacekeeping mission. And I don't know why we, but Simpiwe, what do we have to do with the Congo? I mean, do I have to pull up a map of Africa to show you how far away from us it is? Why are we defending stuff in the Eastern Congo? Even Paul Kagame, who I don't like very much. He's the president of Rwanda, but he runs a tight ship there, whether you like the guy or not. It's a kind of a dictatorship. They haven't really got free speech, but then they do have like cleanliness. The place is clean, which shows that people have a little more self-respect than we do. You know, there's trash all over this country of ours, but that place is at least clean. So they win on that front. But he was saying, like, if you want to fight with us, Cyril, bring it, basically, this week.
South Africans must not do that. Please. Don't do that. It's bad enough. I think it was last year or the year before that where they basically took a survey and they were like, South Africa is just that country where we should not even start wars. We shouldn't do anything because we're not armed. We're not equipped to defend ourselves. And here we are sending troops. I think at the moment there's 13 people that have passed on or have died, the soldiers there. And I'm just like, where were you going? What are you doing there? And they're complaining that they don't have enough. What? Hey, come back home. Just come back home, like abort mission, because why?
Well, guys, you always have to look at so who's got mindset? Does Cyril have minds? Is Cyril throwing children down little cobot holes? I mean, the only reason they're there is because someone's got money there. They're not there because they're worried about the people of Goma or some shit like that. So no, if we go through... Go through mining portfolios of whoever's in that room or other mates of Cyril. That's why they're there.
Well,
we look like idiots now. Our troops are dying. They arrive and like idiots.
We realized a long time ago there's no shame with this with our oaks. Zero
and
shame.
Simpiwe, we didn't give them ammo. Like they had guns and they had their uniforms, but we didn't send them enough ammo because Angie probably only thinks 30% of the ammo is necessary. Like she thought 30% pass would be all right at school,
This is what I mean. Just short mission, like stop it, don't do it. There's certain battles we don't need to be part of. If you want to fugger yourself in certain things, do it another way, not like this. Because now we look like idiots. And this guy's like, hey, if you want to fight, let's go.
Ben is probably right because we don't know what the reason is. I mean, it's supposedly some African Union, UN thing. But, we can't be like pretending that we're a real country with like a proper army and sending people there if we don't even have the ammo for them. I always think imagine you're a family member of one of these soldiers that we've lost. Now, you can argue, you know, our soldiers are poorly trained, that the SANDF is not what it once was, that we have more chiefs and not enough Indians like Pocahontas, but we don't have enough people who actually know what they're doing in our military. I don't know. I mean, I'm not an expert on our military, but it seems like when we're losing people and they're being killed, that is not good. Azalea's got some info here. She says Rwanda has a vested interest. By the way, we'll get to vests in a minute, in causing disruptions in the DRC. You know, minus notice Ben's outfit for the morning. They benefit from the chaos. South Africa's there because the world's largest iron ore deposits are found there. There are many nations participating. Great, but then where do we benefit from that? Huh? Wouldn't that be nice if we got some of that? I don't see any trade deals in place. And if we're going to send troops somewhere, then we must conquer. We must be able to take it and make it a colony of ours, you know? Kind of like we're a colony of America because we take so much of their money to buy our ARVs. Here's someone who has some feedback for you, Ben. This is very important. This is from Carl. He says, a vest, Ben? Really? Have you finally lost all respect for yourself? Also, a gun show so early with the dick emoji. I don't know what Carl's on about there.
Can I correct Carl? It's not a vest. Carl. It's a wife beater. Okay, that's what Ben is wearing. He's wearing a wife beater.
Well, it's so early to get life advice, but suck another dick, dude, really. You and your comments.
But Ben, you do look like you've just woken up to go down that pub with Onslow.
It's 6:18, guys. What the fuck do you want out of me?
Look,
Josh,
you wouldn't dress.
Guns, bro.
you wouldn't dress like that at the studio, though, right?
No, because it's so cold. I can't. Those air cons are on like -7 for the cameras. So,
Simpiwe, you know what happened to Amos, who works for us the other day. He was walking around.
Did he die?
No, he was walking around in a vest though at the office because I was there before him on Wednesday, and then he walked in, and apparently, as he was walking into the building, a bird flew over his head and shat on the back of his shirt. So he had to take it off, and he only had a vest on underneath.
Well, guys, it's kind of a temperature thing. So I have windows that go out into a door here, sorry, a main road. So that's noisy. So I can't open the windows. If I put a fan next to me, you're going to hear zzzz. And the sun is rising right here. So I'm about to get sun in my face. So yes, Carl, I'm wearing a vest because I don't want to be sweaty at 6:20 in the morning.
Well, Congo Chris says, Carl, what are you on about? Vests are the poorer uniform. I thought you'd approve. It does look like you're about to go and open your fish and chip shop on corner.
Yeah,
I've got it. Yeah.
Yeah, boo. How you doing,
boo?
Meanwhile, Simpiwe is looking very, very classy and sophisticated this morning.
Of course.
Nice.
You know, you must always just look respectable. You can't just be walking up in white beaters.
Hey, we haven't really talked about this, but I think it's worth bringing up is that you are like a TikTok star. No, really, Simpiwe, I think we mentioned it when you came back in the first episode of this year. But Simpiwe is like she's a big deal in the TikTok community. She's doing all these videos about being a new mom and all this stuff. So you must go and check out her. What's your channel called?
Zim Tetwa.
There we go.
Follow me on TikTok, and I talk all mommy stuff. You know, the struggles of being a mom. Don't recommend it, but yeah.
All right. And then Carl from PE, a different Carl. We've got a lot of Carls listening to us. Ben is transforming into an Accrington Stanley fan with that vest.
Yeah, well, transformed. It's already happened.
And Carl says, that's the fucking Greeks, you racists. Guess we all look the same. All right. This is the time for listener feedback then. I know we've got lots to talk about this morning, but let's get into this. If you have a direct question for Simpiwe or for Ben or for producers James and Flex or for me, then bring it on. I believe you have some sort of intro for this, James.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, he's done some sort of intro for this. Here we are.
All right. No, the intro was for you to say. It's on the running order.
Oh, for God's sake. I thought you'd like made it. I thought you'd made some sort of video for me.
It's a fair way to start and kind of intro.
The fact that you even joined the show just to tell him that.
I've got the intro. Hang on. Give me a second. I do have it. It's right here. Hang on.
No. We can't use someone else's music video and say it's an intro. Not allowed. Yeah, all right. What's it been?
I said nothing. I said nothing. No, I just thought I was also hoping for something really incredible with the intro.
All right. So Janet says SIM card is rocking momhood. Little nano card is so cute. I love that they're calling a nano card. That's good. All right. So if you've got questions and you've got things you want to ask us, then pop them on the screen now. In the meantime, I saw this and I thought you'd enjoy this morning. Sher, who's like, I don't know, a billion years old. How old is Sher? She's been around a long time, right?
I think Sher is 137 years old. Let me just confirm. She's 78.
Okay. All right. So here's Sher. She just appeared in an Uber Eats ad. And I do think it's kind of fun. I love ads where they spend a lot of money. And you can see they've thought about it a little bit. It's not just some crap about how you should feel bad about something or you should feel good about something. There's actually a bit of a storytelling thing here. I'm only going to play you the first little bit. Mm-hmm. Can't play the whole thing. But here is famous singer Sher from the 1920s.
Take me back to the 80s. Who are you? This isn't the 80s.
Tis the 1680s.
Air! She's both young and old at the same time!
Witch! She's a witch!
She's a witch! I'm not a witch, I'm an icon!
Witch!
Are those my boots?
This is ridiculous.
So good.
Isn't that cool?
Love it. Love it.
Those are really great. Didn't they have one with Jennifer Aniston and she forgot all her friends? That was also them, right?
Yeah, I think it was. You could see also that they're not scared to spend some money. I mean, it's not going to be cheap to get, you know, Sher or Jennifer Aniston. And I like that. They've made a lot of money out of me. I use Uber Eats often. So I'm thrilled that they're good. Yeah, thanks, Ben. Yeah, uh-huh.
Uber.
Got some chip grease on your vest there.
Yes, you can't throw comments out like that and not get abused. Come on.
Oh, please. You know, I don't. You live on your own, Ben. How many times in a week do you actually slave over the hot stove or the oven? I'm talking like at least once a week. I go, I feel like some fish, but fish is, I don't want to cook it. So then
eat game meat, eat organ meat, eat steak. Like this.
Organ
so
meat. Just organ meat.
Be a fucking man with this stuff, Gareth. Eating like it's a school truck shop. You're too old for that now.
All right. Well, here, since you asked, here's something that I don't know if even Ben has tried this. And maybe if you haven't had breakfast yet, you should hold off on breakfast until you've watched this. And maybe you won't want to eat after seeing this. All right. You ready, Sim?
No.
Okay. You're gonna hate this, but here it is. And I love the way they say the words of what kind of meat it is more than they need to in this clip.
This is one of the smelliest foods in the world, pig vagina. Although it's very smelly and contains a lot of bacteria, eating too much can cause cancer. But its unique taste is very popular in Vietnam. Before making this delicacy, chefs will give it a full body spa. They'll add salt, lemon, and white wine and massage it for a few minutes. This not only removes the black dirt from the skin, but also eliminates its fishy smell. It's worth noting that the breathing holes need to be cleaned very carefully. You might think the chef is joking, but no, this is very serious work. If you don't believe it, call your friends over to see. Because pigs have hair, the chef takes out a husband's razor and performs hair removal surgery on it. After the processing is complete, the clean pig vagina is placed in a pot, along with vegetables to remove the fishy smell. Under high temperature, its meat becomes firm. After patiently waiting for 10 minutes, take out the pig vagina and put it in ice water to cool and enhance the freshness of the pork. After washing, slice the pig vagina and place it in a dish. From the screen, you can see how elastic its meat is. Add red sauce and mix well. Next, fry the pig vagina in an oil pan and stir fry with star fruit and shallots. Wait patiently for 3 minutes, and this delicious Vietnamese specialty is ready. Those who have tried it, praise it, and...
There are so many lines. There are so many lines to take out of that. Wait patiently for 3 minutes. The sensation for pig vagina is so strong. You have to wait patiently. Wow.
I saw Sapira's face when the narrator goes, the pig vagina needs to have the hairs shaved off.
I love how they get the picture of the fly comes in. Even the fly is going, you know what? Maybe a bit much. Bit much. I'm out.
Just even the cleaning process of it. Oh, guys. Man.
Eating too much. Eating too much vagina can give you cancer.
There was literally no upside there whatsoever. And then I think the red sauce is probably the most fucking disgusting thing there. You know what's in that?
People are queuing up for that thing. 3 minutes.
I'm so tired of backward people just like getting a free pass by saying something's a delicacy. That is a pig's vagina. Leave it alone.
I think it's so great. All right. out of all the things Andile says, Andile Matlangu says, out of all the things you can eat, why would you eat pig vagina?
Like, why would you do that? Yo, wow. Wow. Why? Like, why?
The AI voice takes it up a notch, says Grant.
It really does. It really does, because it's such a serious tone about the preparation as the guy's fingering the fucking living daylights out.
And he does it so many times as he's cleaning it and then has... Oh, wow.
Yeah, I love it. Sango says, pig vagina. It's the greatest. I'm going to just isolate that clip where the guy goes, the pig vagina. Because he says it the same way every time. It's great.
Just to clarify, that's not on Uber Eats.
No, yeah, please. Can't get that. Don't buy it. Don't eat that thing. Mm-mm. You could die from it.
So that's going to put you off any breakfast plans that you had. And that's probably a good thing, because then you can be one of those intermittent fasters. You could maybe only have your first meal at 12. Wouldn't be a bad thing. Yeah. What were you going to say? You're hungry for some pig vagina.
No. Would you like to taste it, eh?
It's horrific as that was. Isn't it great that the internet can still shock us? I think I'm quite jaded and I don't queasy easy, but that was wow.
No, it's unbelievable. It really
private
is.
Private part calamari. That is just, ugh.
So bad. Okay, so let's get into a couple of things here, because the UK has had their first ever cyber farting conviction. So,
weren't you going to listen to messages?
There
wasn't a big intro at all, but
most of them are talking about pig vagina at the moment. But I thought this might be interesting to you. This is what is trending on X at the moment. You said that the internet can't shock you anymore. Well, yes, it can, and I'll tell you how. Rhiannon Evans, a 25-year-old woman from Wales, has pleaded guilty in what's being referred to as the UK's first cyber farting case. She sent multiple videos of herself passing gas to her boyfriend's ex-partner, an act deemed as causing distress and anxiety, needing her to be charged with harassment. The case highlights evolving legal boundaries in digital communications. So now you know why that was made.
Shout out to her. I actually respect her.
you imagine how much like obsession, stroke loathing, stroke hatred you have for someone to film yourself passing gas and then like bombard some other person with those videos.
Very expressive person, though. It's
not bad.
I'm curious to hear like what her partner said about the ex. Like clearly, yeah, to a point for her to be like, you know what? I'm going to deal with this person. I'm going to deal with this person personally. I'm just going to.
That's bad. It's really bad.
And I'm not going to do it once or twice or three
times. Yeah. I'm going to do it a couple of times and send all the videos. It's just unbelievable. So I don't know if you care about this at all, but also the Steve Harvey cheeseburger phenomenon is something that's going on at the moment. Simpiwe, you're always paying attention to trends and things. A viral image of a burger has taken the internet by storm. Upon squinting, you may perceive the likeness of Steve Harvey in it. Ooh. So I'll show you what this is, because it's shame. I don't know if it looks like Steve Harvey, but maybe you think it will. This is what people are saying. They say that it originates from a post by Nums Music, and the image has led to a humorous trend where people share their reactions about the burger's arrangements of ingredients that looks a bit like Steve Harvey's face. Well, that's what people are saying. There it is. Do you see that? Right? There's the burger.
Yes, totally.
If you squint a little, it's definitely him. Like, it doesn't, the first time you look, it's like, oh. But that looks like him, right? Squint just a little. See what I mean? Move further away from the screen and you'll get the idea.
Yeah.
All right. So we don't care about that much. Yeah. That's fine. Okay. Back to the comments. We've got a couple of things here. Let's go to questions already asked in the comments. Says Dirk. Okay. No one cares about the woman suing Lyft having an OnlyFans page. James, please send the photo to the team. All right, so we spoke about this on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Is this enormous woman who weighs like 500 pounds, close to 260, 280 kilograms. She weighs as much as, I think, a teenaged hippopotamus is the comparison. And she was denied by a Lyft driver. When the car arrived and he saw her, he was like, I'm terribly sorry, I can't take you. You're not going to fit in my car. He had a normal-sized car, by the way. And he was worried about his tires exploding because she's so enormous. So she decided to sue him. So she got the sleaziest lawyers she could. She's going to sue him, but she's going to sue Lyft for apparently millions and millions of dollars. And who knows? Let's see how this goes. But she's not ashamed, hey? She's not ashamed. She has no shame. You know how Simpiwe and Ben, you're always talking about we need to bring back shame. This woman has no shame. She's proud of herself to the point where she thinks Lyft should be ashamed for not giving her a lift. That's who they take.
Yeah, but in the words of Gary Player, she won't be around for many more years with that BMI.
Mm-mm. No, she's not. She's going to be dying soon. No,
she's just trying to get what she can out of her last few days on Earth.
But I want to understand, how do Americans have the krach to just sue left, right, and center? Like, you can see in the wrong, you know. And also, the guy has every right to protect his car. He knows his car. He knows very well. You know, some people, they drive cars, it looks good, but actually that thing is just, it's held by prayer, you know. And he knows that, like, any little thing that's just, it might break down. And he's protecting himself, he's protecting her. And now she has the audacity to be like, I'm going to sue you for millions. Ah, guys, I need that.
Well, I want those lawyers that she's working with. I want them to put her in their car and let's see how they do. Because she really is. She's like the size of minimum four people. Okay. And that's four people concentrated on one side of the car. Even if she sits in the middle, it's putting enormous strain. I mean, most cars are built, you know, four-seater cars for four people. She's more than four on her own, plus the driver. It's rapidly approaching its like maximum payload.
Sorry, I know this is probably because of things we've seen in the last 10 minutes, but if she sits in the middle, that means she's going to straddle her legs open wider. on a whoopee day, that could be another problem altogether.
Yep.
She's not eating pig's vagina as she's sitting in the background.
You don't know that, right? You don't know that.
I do think it's a great advertising opportunity for this car. This guy could wrap his car in his Ozempic advertising, you know, because he's famous now for weight issues. And this car is only for thin people.
Fair enough.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And she's actually going to take them to court. She has no shame at all. I don't blame the driver. Imagine that hippo trying to get in the car. I mean, Sipiwe, you've got a nice car. You wouldn't put that that lady in your car. She wouldn't fit.
I deny my friends when they already like a bit too drunk. And I'm like, yay, when you're not coming in my car, you're not going to make it smell even like, you know. So imagine a whole stranger who I don't know you. And all I see is just this, you know, I guess, Anna, you're staying behind. We're not doing that. We're not ruining my car.
I would like to pick up on what Dave has here. You know, right at of admission reserved, you see it in most buildings. There used to be a sign, and that's something to be respected. So when you get those, like this, you know, what was that whole thing about that cake? Wasn't the cake business didn't want to make it a transvestite cake or something?
They didn't want to do, there was a like a Christian cake company, a Christian bakehouse, and they wouldn't make a gay wedding cake.
Yeah. Okay. So cool. But that's their right of admission to reserve. It's just, guys, just fuck.
Look, I don't know why. If you want to have a you know, you want a gay marriage, you want a gay wedding, why are you going to the Christian? It's like you're trying to antagonize them, you know?
Yes.
Don't antagonize people. Like, I'm sure there is someone somewhere who doesn't have a problem with making a gay wedding cake. Or else you just order a, how about you just go to them and say, it's a normal wedding. They put the little man and the woman on top, and then you change that yourself to a man and a man.
But right?
Or just give the components that will end up making the big cock.
Yeah.
Like, can I have three cakes, please? Hit the dimensions. Just separately, I'll do the rest.
I don't know. Anyway, I mean, like, I'm sure there's someone somewhere who will do that for you. But yes, let's not ruin other people's cars by being so enormous that the wheels fall off like Mari biscuits.
Imagine.
Okay. Apparently, here, a judge weighs less than her, says proper gender. That's true. Someone actually asked on Wednesday, what if she got on a judge?
No more by judge.
That thing okay, is here
We've got a question for Ben from Dirk. He says, Rob Herzog recently said the South African who's closest to Trump is actually Gary Player. They have a decades-long close relationship, and he is introducing influential South African expats to Trump. Do you know anything about this, Ben?
Not in the active activity of it, but no, Gary's been in America for a long time, obviously, because you had to go there to win, and he's a winner. And, yeah, I mean, people attract themselves to each other, right? I mean, Donald follows Gary on social media. They play golf from time to time. He gave Gary a special award for being an amazing person. I think it's the Amazing Person Award. And, he's got very traditional values, does Gaza. He's obviously got a big family. He believes in merits, winning, and then just being a winner. So, yeah, same person.
All right. Well, very good. I wouldn't mind being close to Trump right now. He's taking absolutely no shit. Did you see this yesterday? He this is the kind of press conference that I could get used to this. I mean, the guy is he doesn't care, right? When this guy, he just calls bullshit on people and actually uses the word. Listen to this quickly. I mean, you don't have to like him to respect the fact that he says what's on his mind. You always know where he stands. Hey.
Which is overseen by Secretary Pete Buttigieg, a real winner. That guy's a real winner. Do you know how badly everything's run since he's run the Department of Transportation? He's a disaster. He was a disaster as a mayor. He ran his city into the ground, and he's a disaster now. He's just got a good line of bullshit.
That's great. Donald is everything so many people want to be, and they're just not honest enough to ever admit it. And people hate the fact he does what he does, and he can do what he does. People really need to own up to that now. And once they do, life is a lot more fun. Watching this guy, no matter what he does right now, is the most entertaining thing in the world.
Yeah. No, he really is. Can we, while we're talking about Gary, who's Donald's best friend, let's do a little bit of sport this morning, and I know that the Accrington Stanley fans especially will be on tenterhooks to find out whether there's a fixture for them this weekend. So, Ben, over to you with a little bit of sport.
Yeah, look, Accrington Stanley, I mean, they had a nice draw versus Cheltenham this last week just to consolidate the massive win against Crewe, obviously. So they're now 3 points ahead of the drop zone, which is a nice sigh of relief, you know, especially going into the February 15 comedy night that we spoke about a couple of weeks ago. But to more pressing things, of course, Gareth, it is the
This is the most pressing thing. Look at Simpiwe's face. She's suddenly into football since you brought up Accrington Stanley. Look at
yes.
Thrill.
But guys, I mean, like, I don't want to put too much pressure on them. You know, they're away to Port Vale tomorrow, which again is going to be a tough one. Port Vale, not to be confused with Pork Vale. They're a division below it, below that. But we have to talk about Six Nations because it's rugby's biggest thing right now. There's so many great jokes around. Obviously, the Six Nations is the tournament for people who can't win World Cups. There's some fantastic banter around that. But ultimately, it comes down to Ireland versus France, the second team and the fourth best team in the world. They're the clear favorites to win this thing. But then England are going to be, they're going to be that sort of like, that real cat amongst the pigeons in certain games, maybe as early as tomorrow. So the first big game of the tournament is Ireland versus England. Now, Ireland have the advantage of playing England and France at home for this tournament. So that kind of makes them, I wouldn't say joint favorites. I still think they're second favorites, but they've got two injuries in their forward pack. This English team has thrown away guys like Owen Farrell and George Ford and some of those maybe handbrakes they've had in the past. They want to go full guns blazing. They've got Mauro Atogi as their captain. I've got a good feeling about England being entertaining. If nothing else, they're going to be very entertaining of their absolute all because expectations are where they normally are for the English, kind of here-ish. So that'll be your massive game for the weekend. France, I think, are going to win because they've got Dupont and Ntamack back as a starting 9-10 combo. They didn't have that last year. And this French team has to be good. For all the smoke that's been blowing up these Oaks' asses for the last 18 months, it has to deliver somewhere. And the 2025 Six Nations is, I think, where it delivers. So they're going to be taking on the hapless Welsh tonight, 10:15. That's at home for the French. Scotland will take on Italy at 4:15. And the big game, as I said, tomorrow, Ireland versus England. That'll be it. 6:45. So the PSL is very difficult to follow. You don't get a lot of updates around here because like it's so sketchy. You know, CAF Continental, the big, you know, Champions League thing, Pirates are doing well.
So what do you mean it's sketchy? Like you can't, people don't know when the game's on, who's playing.
No, I mean, it's on, but you don't get like the blockbuster weekends, you know, like with momentum. It just seems like that the big teams are a little bit scattered. I mean, obviously there's different times of the season where there's different emphasis. You know, so then you've got the teams doing well in the continental African tournaments, and then you've got other guys that are just kind of here, like Magesi, who are kind of all over the place. But this weekend is highlighted by the big Soweto derby, and as much as Pirates is a far significant team nowadays, it still has that sort of that expectation that something decent is going to happen. I mean, Chiefs are currently fifth in the PSL log right now, so they're doing all right. But Chiefs just... they just haven't gone anywhere the last sort of 5-6 years, or 10 years, actually, if you want to be really critical, maybe even further. Whereas Pirates are pretty dynamic. You know, they've got some really entertaining things that are coming through. They're good young players. So as much as Pirates are favorites tomorrow, at a packed FNB stadium, some of those young guys might be a bit deer in the headlights-y, because this is a massive cultural coming together as well. It's not just a football match. And obviously, in that instance, it's always recommended that fans get there nice and early, because this game has a horrible habit of starting late. Because Oaks just getting hammered in the car park. They relax. They come in at their own time. Guys, if you want to be an international fixture, be taken seriously, we need to start on time, get to your seat, get excited. This is a big game. Cherish the process. So that'll be tomorrow, Saturday, 3:30. And then there's also a bit like all the sort of top eight teams will be in action tomorrow in the PSL. Stellenbosch versus Sekhukhune, Polokwane versus Chippa United, TS Galaxy will be taking you on Cape Town City, and Sundowns versus Golden Arrows. Those are all your weekend games for the PSL. The English Premier League just gets more and more exciting. It really does. Yes, Liverpool are ahead. They do have a great lead. James is very happy whenever he watches his team play. So excited. Look at him. He's thrust himself into the conversation with his smug face. And they are a good side, and they finished top of the Champions League. So the Champions League, the never-ending Champions League, concluded this week in the pool stages. Liverpool up top, even though they lost their last game, they're already so far ahead. Barcelona second, Arsenal third. And I don't care about any other teams after that, because as soon as Arsenal make the top three of something, that's it. happiness.
Ah, but what about Man United? Come on now.
Leagues and people, you watch your mouth. You don't bring them into such excellence like this. Jeepers, that's like saying, that's like talking about the greatest war generals of all time when you go, oh, what about Cyril? No, stop it. Damn it. So Nottingham Forest have been an interesting story this year, of course. They are still third in the log. They beat Liverpool. They drew with Liverpool. But they got absolutely trousered last week by Bournemouth, 5-0. So they have to get back to where they were, because you always fear with a team like this, they're kind of a couple of results could make them skyrocket downwards as much as they came upwards. So they take you another.
I have a question, Ben. So they're called Nottingham Forest. But as I recall from the Robin Hood books that I read as a child, Robin Hood was in Sherwood Forest, and Nottingham was where the evil sheriff of Nottingham, with all the taxes that he stole from people, used to live. So yes, why didn't they call themselves Sherwood Forest, and they would have had more supporters, because they would have been on Robin Hood's side, and everybody loves Robin Hood.
But Gareth, ultimately, Robin Hood is a thief, and I think this football club didn't want to be known as thieves. And they also tax their fans heavily. And they also have an effigy for Robin Hood before every single match. Little known fact there. Yeah, that's how they start their games. So Nottingham Forest, they will be taking on Brighton. Brighton have only lost 5 times this year, but they do have a knack of making many, many draws. Still, solid game to start on Saturday at 2:30. Newcastle are not going away. They're taking on Fulham at 5. And then Bournemouth, the team that's doing so well somehow. It's a bit like watching cats do things in sequence from time to time. It's not guaranteed, but when they get it right, they get it right. Bournemouth versus Liverpool, 5 o'clock on Saturday. The big, big game everyone cares about. Obviously Sunday, Arsenal hosting Man City, 6:30. It's a big game for Arsenal because Man City are still ripe for the taking, but they've been, you know, Man City-ish of late. They've been getting big wins. But if Arsenal win this, then they can still say they've got a chance at the title. James, don't you dare laugh. All right, and then it's the last weekend of the SA20 before we move into the very strange and confusing playoffs. So if you are in the Pretoria area, Pretoria Capitals tonight, 5:30, what a lekker way to start payday weekend. They'll be taking you on the MI Capetonian. Saturday, Sunrise at Eastern Cape. I don't know if they're going down or they're going up, but they're teetering a bit, as are the Paul Royals.
I don't know about Sunrise in the Eastern Cape, but I see Sunrise rising in your eyes. You're squinting quite a lot there, Ben.
In my face, yeah. I told you guys, I'm in the sun.
By the way, James, is Flex still there?
He is. He's on the phone, though, but he is here.
All right, he's doing things. All right, so, Ben, you are staring into the sun.
Yeah, but I'm also trying to deliver the sport before I get completely brightened out.
All right, let's go.
Yeah, so last weekend of the group stages for the SA20, so Sunrise's Eastern Cape, they'll be taking on the Paul Royals, who did finish top. And then Joburg Super Kings had a great win yesterday. They'll be taking on the already out of the tournament Durban Super Giants. That'll be Saturday and then Sunday. Last game in Cape Town. It's a bit shitty. Like if you, the Cape Town Royals or the MI Cape Town, once you play your pool games, that's it. You don't get playoffs. So these are the two best teams in the tournament, and they're going to need to go up country to play their matches. The top two teams actually are the MI Cape Town and Paul Royals. They'll play next week in the first game in Kibaha. That'll be the first knockout match. And the winner of that goes into the grand final. The loser then plays the third and fourth place team winners. But we'll get into that next week. And then, of course, you know, we obviously can't leave out the women's sport. The heavily plagiarized women's Ashes, that's taking place right now. You know, they're playing a one-off day-night test match. And England, well, they're getting shat on again. They only scored 170. The Aussie women, they just rollicking along at 120 for 2. And then there's the SA Women's Under-19 cricket team. Now, they've been playing this most strange tournament in Malaysia where it rains every, like, 3 minutes. So the pool stages were basically, like, hit and hope, 5, 6, 7, 8 over matches. I mean, they played against Western Samoa. I think they bowled them out for, like, 18 or something stupid. But they're in the semis, and they're about to actually win against Australia. Yeah, go SA Women Under-19. They bowled the young Sheilas out for 105 for 8 is what they scored, and they currently need 30 runs from 60 balls. That's good. That's the semi, which means they get into a final, and then they might just actually win a final and embarrass every other senior SA cricket team who cannot do that.
Ben, there's a question for you here from Bitcoin Boots. Says, Ben, what's your prediction for next weekend's fight, Drickus or Sean?
Drickus second round submission win.
Thank God.
It's almost like you had that answer prepared.
Well, he's got too much firepower for that. And in the first fight, he was feeling his way out, first in a title fight and secondly against a guy who's all volume with not major knockout appeal. So Drickus has got he'll have a game plan. And he knows that Strickland can't really hurt him to the point where he'll knock him out or really rock him. So he can take a few more risks in this fight. And I think a few more risks with Drickus means he'll close the distance quite well. He'll stun him or hit him pretty hard with something. And as we saw in the Adesanya fight, then he moves in for that submission and he doesn't get the credit he deserves. But that oak will maul the cuck out of anybody. And Strickland, I mean, all of these guys at the top level, they all have grappling and wrestling and all that kind of ability. But you get an angry Dutchman who likes being champion on your back, you are fucked. And it's as simple as that. And no American will ever know this until it happens to them. And then it's like, well, shit. And then it's too late. That's right.
Drickus will take him to the ground in the second. He agrees. So there we go. You two are of one mind here. Okay, so here's an interesting thing from Gray, also about sport. Ben, have you watched the Darts League in the UK? Apparently it's brilliant. They've turned it into a real spectacle. You have to see it.
Yeah, it really is. Over the festive season, there was the World Champs. And there was quite a bit of drama because the guy at one is a teenager. And, you know, it's a bit of this young upstart coming into the old man's game of darts.
Right.
But he did it, eh? World champ. They have this factory, basically. It's like a big barn. And then they shove people in there. They all get dressed in fancy dress. They all get absolutely shit-faced. It's so hard to get tickets. And then they dart. They go. But yeah, they don't smoke when they dart anymore. They don't drink. It's all very professional. Guys are drinking Powerades and
who would have guessed? Darts. Maybe that's a fun thing for you and Flex to take up, James.
What, you darts?
You and Flex could take up darts. You could become.
Don't you need some level of like hand-eye coordination to do so?
And you can't see, so you're already out.
Jesus, James. Just so much masculine energy coming through on that response, huh?
Oh, beautiful. All right, so what we've got in the next little while, we've got so many things that we still want to do. Thanks, Ben. That's a good look at the sport for the weekend. Just a few things that I still want to get to. It's been 9 years since I beat up MultiChoice, which I always love to celebrate by just showing a picture of us winning and how much it cost them. And here's just a picture of me with my legal team after we fucked them up. I just want everybody to see that again, just because it's nice to win. And even though it's 9 years that to the day today since we beat them.
The bottom part, you haven't changed.
You don't think so?
Yeah. Like the top part, you can tell you're young. And then the bottom part, it's like, oh, okay, cool. You've like grown. But like you now and that, you haven't changed.
All right. Well, thank God for that. And meanwhile, here's someone who has changed a bit. This is a picture of Ben's hero, King Charles. There he is, standing in the standing in the library at Balmoral. He's ready. He's ready. He's ready to take on 2025. He's had a nice long holiday. He and Camilla, fresh from some Ayurvedic medical retreat or something.
Wow. Wow.
That face is not convincing.
I've never liked Charles. He's never really done it for me.
No, I'm sorry. I think he's terrific.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, he's no Gary Player.
Who are you comparing him to? I always go compared to what? So, in golf, no, he's definitely no Gary Player.
Silly comparison.
I mean, like, who are you going to compare him to? Like, other kings? Aren't there that many?
I don't really compare people to judge their worth. I just think that Charles is, just never did it for me. I mean, I got to say, after watching The Crown, he went up in my estimations, but they were still very low. And that's ultimately where they are. Maybe it's because I'm just not a horse person.
If you heard that he supported Accrington Stanley,
he doesn't. See, I mean, now you are trying to bestow false valor on him. Why don't you just come here and start throwing standing memberships around here like they're free, Cliff? You're going to earn that shit.
I'm buying a small Accrington Stanley shirts, whether you like it or not. All right, so quickly, before we get to our break at 7, a couple of things we want to talk about. Ben was in the Cape, and he found an interesting new place that he wants to tell us about. These places are usually only for Cape Townians. They don't want us to know about them. And when you find out about them, yeah, because what happens is that then people from everywhere else in South Africa and the world, they start going there. The place becomes too popular. And then the Cape Townians are like, oh, no, I can't do this anymore. It's too, like, commercial. Those people have ruined it, you know, and they don't want us there. So we're going to spill the beans on that, which will be lots of fun. Simpiwe has also got a new Afrikaans Uber to tell us about. It's called Vanatu. And we're going to hear all about that. Also, there could be new speed limits in South Africa. That's what they're saying, which scares the hell out of me because I think we're already full of too many slow drivers on the highways. But then, you know, I've got the traffic fines and the arrest warrants to prove it. So all of that and more on the way. It's just before 7. We'll be back in just a second. Ben, Simpiwe, you and I, and the producers. There they are. There's James. Hi. Yeah, there we go. Producer James, and Flex is still on the phone in the background.
Yeah,
I know. I know you guys are working. I can tell. There he is. Ah, okay. Very good. Both in football shirts, by the way, Ben.
Yes. Yes.
What team is that you have on?
This is Juventus. Ben actually got me the shirt, by the way.
Very nice.
Yeah. And that's Sundown.
Oh, Sundowns for Flex. Yeah. Very good. All right. Very good. Thank you. There we go. Sundown. Okay. See you in a minute.